So, having fun so far? It's been a good morning, isn't it? Watching our children and young people take part in a service like this. We've got a talented group of children and young people, and it's great to celebrate with them today. So, as Sue's mentioned, the theme that's been running through this service has been about power, particularly God's power. In the songs, in the drama, in the Bible readings, and in the video, there's this idea of God's power at work in the world. And I want to spend just a few minutes now this morning thinking about the character of God, and in particular, his power. Our first story this morning was the drama that the children acted out for us of Noah and the flood. And there are lots of different things that we can learn and lots of different teaching that we can pick up that can help us in our life, particularly around the story of Noah. Now, a few weeks ago, Lisa looked in more detail at the story of Noah to see if we could discover some of the characteristics of God from the way that he treated Noah and his family. So here's a little question for the adults, because you youngsters were out in your light factory. So adults, can you remember the characteristics of God that Lisa highlighted when she spoke about Noah about 2 or 3 weeks ago? Might be longer than that, actually. We've had a few other things in between. Any ideas? No? Okay, I'll tell you. I had the advantage of being able to go onto the network and find the PowerPoint that she used. Lisa highlighted the characteristics of God, that God is sovereign, God is personal, and God is gracious. That's to say that God is Lord of all. He's Lord of all things. He is in control of everything, and everything belongs to him. Despite his power, he's also personal. And we see that in the way that he treats Noah and his family. And we work out from that that he wants to know each of us and cares for each of us too. And we also see that he is gracious. And despite the way that we mess up in our lives, he will not give up on us. And he will give us another chance. This morning, however, I want to talk about the power of God. And it's a power that we see, first of all, in this story. And from what we know about God and all that we can read, we shouldn't really be surprised that God has the power to cause a flood or the power to make it rain for 40 days and nights. The God that created the whole world, the God who brought order from chaos, must surely have the power to bring an end to all that he has created, and then to start again and to bring new life. So in the story of Noah, we see God's power on display. We see it too in the second story that we've watched today. And it's in the video that we've just seen. And in that video, we again saw the power of God. And this time we saw it when Jesus calmed the storm. From what I've read about the Sea of Galilee, it's known for such storms, for sudden changes in conditions, and it can be a very dangerous place. So for a storm to suddenly rise up whilst the disciples and Jesus were sailing across the sea would have been a very possible and a very risky event. It's also worth noting that most Jews in Jesus' time did not really enjoy the water. They were not a great sea-going nation. God had given them the land, not the sea. The Jews preferred the land, and it was only really the fishermen that went out in their boats to sea. For the Jews of Jesus' time, the sea would have also been a symbol of chaos and even of evil. They would be reminded of the creation story when God created the world. We read in the beginning of Genesis that he controlled the waters on the earth, that God put them all in one place and brought land from it. And when God brings order from the chaos in creation, there is also symbolism of God overcoming evil. So for the Jews, the raging storms and uncontrollable seas are a reminder of the evil that's in the world. So this story of Jesus in the boat, in the middle of a storm, with his friends and disciples terrified of the seas, is symbolic of the power of God. It's not a parable, but it's a real life event that can be used to show God at work in his world. In the story, we see that Jesus stands up, calls out to the wind and to the waves, and they obey his voice. The storm calms down, and the ship is safe. We see that God is in control, that God has the power. Through Jesus in the world, the storms of life can be contained and controlled. God's power can overcome anything. It's important to realize that the image also shows us that the storms are not removed from our lives. When we become Christians, all that storminess in our life isn't just taken away. We will still face tough times and times of difficulty. But with Jesus in our boat, we have all we need to get through life safely. And there's one other thing that I want to highlight this morning about the power of God. It's the fact that although God has tremendous power, power so great that we can't really understand it, God is also very gentle and caring. In many ways, God's power is a gentle power. Now, this morning, our younger children sang the song, "Our God is a Great Big God." And I wonder, have you ever thought about the words of that song? It talks about the power of God. The God who is bigger than the universe. The God who is higher than a skyscraper. The God who is so powerful. And this is difficult to picture in our minds. A God who has shown through history just how powerful he is holds each of us in his hands, gently holding us, protecting us, caring for each one of us. Picture this big pair of strong hands holding something so delicate and precious. That's the image that I get of God holding you and holding me. His hands cupping us, surrounding us, where we can feel comforted and secure. The hands that brought life into this world takes care of each one of us. And I was trying to think of a way of illustrating the power of God, but also the gentleness of his touch on our lives. And I'd like to get a couple of volunteers to help me. Now, you need to be able to throw, and you need to be able to catch. And in cricketing terms, if you're a cricketer, you'll know this, you need to have soft hands. Okay? And if you're a child, you need to make sure your parent doesn't mind if you get a little bit wet. So do I have a couple of volunteers? And let's have Luke. And is it Zach? Yeah, come out. And what we'll do, we'll have a bit of Jeopardy. Should we go for some Jeopardy? We'll go for some Jeopardy. So if you two want to stand in that aisle there. Right. Now, the idea is you're not deliberately going to throw it as hard as you can at your partner. But the idea is you're going to play catch and kind of move back a little bit every time and see how far you can throw it to each other and catch it with your soft hands and hope that it doesn't burst. Okay? What we're trying to show is the gentleness of God's hands and our delicacy when we're in his hands. So, go for it. And I'm standing on the stage, so that's okay. They look a bit tough, these balloons. Are they not popping? I think I might have been duped for these balloons. Have we had one that's popped? Oh, they do pop. There we go. I got a feeling this one might not pop. Oh no, I was wrong, it does pop. Okay, sit down. It's only water, don't worry, I'll dry it in a minute. Okay, so the point of that, there was a point other than just to have a bit of fun. We are like the balloon to God. He cares for us, he catches us, he protects us, and he will not let us fall. His hands are gentle and caring, and in his hands we won't burst, our lives won't fall apart. The God who created the world with his power loves the world so much that he gave his son Jesus to make his power available to us all if we follow him. And when we do that, we're protected by his strong hands. They protect us from the worst that the world can throw at us, and they help us to live our lives for God. We're going to have some prayers now, and Matt, Jessica and Divine are going to come and lead us in our prayers for others. Thank you.
We are going to lead you in a responsive prayer based on what is written in Revelation chapter 21.
John writes in Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth disappeared, and the sea vanished. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared and ready, like a bride dressed to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne.
Now God's home is with people. He will live with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be his God. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more grief, or crying, or pain. The old things have disappeared."
Then the one who sits on the throne said,
"And now I make all things new."
He also said to me,
"Write this, because these words are true and can be trusted."
And he said,
"It is done. I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I will give the right to drink from the spring of the water of life without paying for it."
Let's pray together. We have hope. Lord, we pray for those recently elected to join our team of deacons and also those already on the team. We ask that you will guide them as they lead our church and enable it to grow. We pray also for the search for a new team leader and ask that you will guide our search as we look to grow in service and discipleship. We hope in the promise that God is preparing his church as the bride of Christ. We pray for those who lead and guide us and ask God's blessing and guidance as we seek his will.
Lord, you said, "And now I make all things new."
Amen. Make all things new.
We pray for those who are lonely. We hope in the promise that the home of God will be among people, that God will dwell with us and that we will be his people, and that God himself will be with us. We pray for those we know who are lonely or isolated.
Lord, you said, "And now I make all things new."
Amen. Make all things new.
We pray for those who lead our nation. We ask that they will make the right decisions and run our country with the help of God. We hope in the promise that God is enthroned in heaven and all things are under his authority. We ask for your blessing on our nation and your guidance in our relationships with our international neighbours.
Lord, you said, "And now I make all things new."
Amen.
Make all things new.
We pray for those who are in pain, suffering from illness, either physical or mental. We hope in the promise that crying and pain will be no more. We pray also for those who are experiencing the consequences of death, the bereaved and those who are mourning. We hope in the promise that death and mourning will be no more. We mention in our hearts those we know who are ill or in pain or affected by death and mourning.
Lord, you said, "And now I make all things new."
Amen. Make all things new.
We pray for those who are thirsty for truth, love and grace, those who seek God and his life with earnest hearts. We hope in the promise that God will give water to the thirsty without cost from the spring of the water of life. We remember those we know who need your love and your saving grace.
Lord, you said, "And now I make all things new."
Amen. Make all things new.
Lord, your words are trustworthy and true. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We pray this in the powerful and hopeful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.